I'm back here with my papers because my little machine did fail on me today, but it's all right. The seed of doubt. Genesis chapter 3, and if you have your Bible, please let's open up Genesis chapter 3. It's in the very beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament. And we read from verse 1. I like the noise of the Bible being opened. Because then it kind of, you know, you can make sure that, well, this guy is not preaching out of his own repertoire of books that he has at home or something. It's actually the Bible. So praise the Lord. Here's what it says. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' Now you will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. And verse 6, "Now when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it." Mistake. "She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate also. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So first of all here, think about this situation. There's Eve walking in the garden. And the Lord had made a beautiful garden. We have to understand that when God makes something, he makes something beautiful. So he made this garden a specific place for Adam and Eve. And there it was. Beautiful trees, water, probably some, you know, nice hills and stuff, and just, you know, flowers, whatnot. And there was, of course, lots of fruit, lots of trees, lots of stuff to eat. And he walked with them. "Did you like it? Do you like this?" "Oh, wow, this is fantastic. This is wonderful. Well, let me show you around here." So God takes, in fact, the Bible indicates that actually God was walking in the garden, and he was coming like every day, and he was having this chat with Adam and Eve. So then as he had created the garden and all that, Adam and Eve and the first couple days there, and okay, let's walk and see the garden. So they went out to see the garden and said, "You see all this? It's beautiful, isn't it?" "Oh yeah, yeah, it's fantastic." "Well, here's the thing. You have a bunch of trees here, but there's one tree," and he showed them the tree of life. He showed them the other trees, and he showed them the one tree that was in the middle of the garden. And that happens to be the tree of knowledge between good and evil, or of good and evil. And he said, "You know, you can eat everything. Take a peek. I mean, this is just, I mean, this, I just made this for you. You take it and you eat it, but not this one. Leave this one. Don't touch it." Adam and Eve, for sure, they were happy. You know, it's fine, you know, the first couple of days, I guess they were just walking around and eating from everything else. And all of a sudden, this fine Eve, she was walking around. She was walking around, and she saw this one tree. And she looked, and she saw that the fruit that was on the tree, man, this is like, wow, this looks pretty tasty. I should give it a try. So here's what she does. She goes close by, and there, all of a sudden, there is this beast. Probably, we don't know what it was. We know it is a snake, or transformed into a snake after it did what it did. But in the beginning, it seemed, because it was actually talking. Now, you might wrap your head around these things, because at that time, everything was perfect. Now, I even saw something on video the other day, you know, they have those little pets. Have you noticed how they respond to you? I mean, animals actually almost talk. I mean, if they could talk, they would tell you that they love you and all that. But, you know, but in this case, before the fall of man, somehow this one beast, it did actually speak to Eve. And what it says here is, and this serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. Now listen to this. The serpent is smart. You cannot outsmart the serpent. If you think you're smart, if you think you're good, if you're intelligent, you got a couple degrees and all that, you think you can manage the snake, you cannot. Don't fool yourself. The snake is smart, and it can outsmart you. So when the woman saw, see, first of all, he said, you know, as he, you know, you will not certainly die, the snake says. That's the first thing. He puts the snake, or puts the word of God into questioning. Did God really say? It's the beginning of the downfall of man, right there. When you open up this book, did God really say? Yeah, it's written here, but there might be some translation issues and blah, blah, blah. Maybe not exactly. He doesn't really mean what he says. So he started to plant a seed of doubt. Now, there's a little story as I was preparing for this. Because, you know, people can all of a sudden start, you know, doubt each other. So there were these two ladies traveling in a train. And there was this fellow, was a lawmaker from the U.S. And he said, you know, I want to do something. Because he knew the train would go through a tunnel. And once it would go in the middle, it would be completely pitch dark in for a short moment. So here's what he did. He said, you're going to play a trick on these ladies. They were sitting in front of him. Because here you sit in front of, you know. So as they were traveling through, he decided to give a kiss. He did like this. And then it cleared up again. And the two ladies looked at each other. Well, hey, I didn't do it. And the other said, hey, don't look at me. I didn't do it. But hey, but you heard it. Somebody did it. Who did kiss the man? So all of a sudden, the two ladies were starting to discuss and talk. Well, it wasn't me, but the seed of doubt. Hey, but just somebody must have done it, because we all heard it. So that's exactly what the devil does. He brings the doubt into the scene. And when that happens, everything goes. Where this ends up, it ends up in a very bad place. And I heard even this week on the radio, let's just bring out some of the stuff that's happening in the world today. Because of the gender identity situation in England, because now if you declare and if you say to the judge, I am a man or I am a woman, they will have to accept that. And so, and it's actually happened. Out there in England, a criminal, he got in jail, and he was a man, but in jail, he decided, you know what, hey, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. No, that the criminal, that was not me, that was the other, you know, I'm a new identity, I'm a woman, you have to accept me. They had to clear the criminal record and let him go. Where in the world have we landed? The seed of doubt starts there, ends up, and it's going to get worse, just so you know. It's going to get worse. So when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some. See, here's the other thing that the devil does. He triggers the imagination. If he gets you on your imagination, you can travel on that for quite some time. That's why we have pornography. That's why we have all these other things that the world throws at us. And we start to imagine and thinking. And it gets closer. It gets closer. And it comes to a point where we actually engage. It starts here. Oh, it's actually pretty good. Wow, if I have this, then wow. You know, if I can buy this vehicle, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do that. If I had money. And this, and you all of a sudden find yourself in a track far, far, far from God. And it was, you were led by your own imagination. So the devil triggered the imagination of Eve. She ate it. She also gave some to her husband. So from the beginning, Satan has tried to undermine God's people by undermining God's word. If he can get us to doubt the word, then he has us. And he can undermine just as effectively by getting us to neglect God's word as getting us to doubt it. Eve's first mistake was in even carrying on a discussion with the serpent. That's the other thing. We engage. We engage in, well, this is actually pretty good. Maybe we should give it a try. But it takes a little while until you actually, from the time it comes into your mind, until you actually engage in it. We are called to talk to the devil, but to curse him or to send him away, but never to have a discussion with him. We simply and strongly tell him, the Lord rebuke you. So somehow, the lack of faith in the word of God leads to downfall. That's why we need to somehow disassociate ourselves with those who won't get into a place of faith with us. And that's the question. Are we associated, where or with whom are we in contact with in our regular day? If you and I, we work in a pagan place in our job, in our place where we, you know, if it's a school or whatever it is, if everybody is saying it, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, we run the risk of all of a sudden, maybe it isn't true. And it's precisely that's why the Lord has given us a church. Somehow we are quite like-minded, and we still believe, and we hope we will believe in this book forever. But it's like a protection that God puts around us so that we, you and I, somehow get involved and get in touch with people that do also believe. Because if everybody is in disbelief around you, we run the risk of somehow losing our faith. So we need to hang out with people of faith. Try to find in your life, in your circles, people of faith. People that do believe. Now this is a quote from the Blue Letter Bible website. Let me read it. Eve misquoted God's command to Adam. Her words, "You shall not eat it," and "lest you die," are close enough, but she added to the command and put words in God's mouth when she said, "Nor shall you touch it." It's really not in the Bible that God actually said, "Don't touch it." That was something that Eve answered to the devil. We should not eat it, and we should not even touch it. God didn't really say you shouldn't even touch it. It was an adding on. Of course, it was a good idea to completely avoid the temptation. No good could come from massaging the fruit you're not supposed to eat. But it is a dangerous thing to teach the doctrines of man as if they are in command or are the commandments of God. Matthew 59. Clark on "Nor Shall You Touch It." Some Jewish writers state that as soon as the woman had asserted this, the serpent pushed her against the tree and said, "See, you have touched it and are still alive. You may therefore safely eat of the fruit, for surely you shall not die." You see, sometimes the devil twists a little bit and then it allows you to do some extra, and then it doesn't happen according to what God had said. And the devil says to Eve, "See, you even touched it and you didn't die. See, might as well just eat it." She got tricked into it. John 20, 24, 29. Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples, and that's from verse 26, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." If there is one thing that the Lord insisted through the entire New Testament, believe the word. Because that's what got Eve into trouble in the first place. Believe the word. And then Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Well, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So it's no wonder that Jesus called the devil the father of lies. He is indeed the father of lies. Because as he said that one sentence, do you think really God would have said a thing like this? Look at the tree, beautiful it is. So when Jesus came into the world, there were many issues that he addressed. But chief on his list was his attack on doubt. Hebrews 3:12, and here's where it really gets tough. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And the Lord, when he gives a word, it is meant for us to believe, but there is a, if you understand how God works, it is a circle of protection for you. When he says and insists, "Believe what I say," he means it for you not to get harmed. His intention is to protect, to help, to bless, to cover you so that you won't fail, you won't fall. In fact, Jesus is even in the business to protect those who want to believe, which is you and me. Now we're reading from verse 35. And this is, I think, from John. "While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother the teacher?'" You remember when he went to this place where there was this daughter of Jairus who had died? Or he had come to him and said, "You know, my daughter is very sick." All of a sudden, "Okay, I'm going to go there." As he was going, "Oh, sorry, it's already dead. Doesn't help. Don't bother. And they said, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, believe. You got a bunch of people around you saying, 'Stop believing, it's over, it's too late.'" And he told them, believe, I'm here, believe. Verse 38. "When they came to the home and synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loud. He went and he said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. Unbelief, unbelief. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and the mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, Talita cum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around, believing. So the first thing that the devil does, he puts into your heart a seed of doubt on the word of God. That's the first thing he does. It's not so. It's not exactly like it is. It's not exactly like it's written in the Bible. Just, you know, give it a little bit of a, you know, maybe half of it true. Maybe the other half might be half true. Maybe there's a 10th, 20% true. Maybe he doesn't even go that far. Maybe he say, yeah, no, 80% or 99% is true. But that's 1% is not true. And we fall. The seed of doubt. Number two, the tragedy of the loss. Verse 7 in Genesis chapter 3. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And here, believe it or not, the devil or the serpent did say or did speak the truth. But he did not speak all the truth. Because indeed, as they grabbed the fruit, they started eating, their eyes were opened. And now they were knowledgeable about good and evil. And they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverage for themselves. So the first loss here, as it gets going and it gets really, really bad. First loss, they were first time where man needed to cover up shame, hide, hopefully nobody sees me. It was not there before they did it. They were able to talk, to be with the Lord, to walk freely. Everything was just fine. Here, as soon as they grabbed it, there was a process in their mind starting to cover up, hide. Until now, everything was free. But then they became ashamed and had nothing. Or they started to act as if they had things to hide. And they did. Second loss, they lost the intimacy with the Lord. Remember when the text says that God, let me read it in verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? See, God comes anyway. He sees what they had done. He comes and he walks. And it's interesting that they heard God walking in the garden. He answered, well, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. Remember that word, fear. Because now the relationship with God is kind of broken and you are kind of on your own. Before you had the fatherly relationship, you were well, you had a father, you know, everything was in perfect condition. You were just doing great. All of a sudden, I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Well, the man said, well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. It's interesting, too, that God gave this address, this command to Adam. And it's interesting too that probably Adam is the one who were the one that told Eve about the command of the Lord. Because the command was given to Adam. So Eve got it in second hand. She got it from Adam. Well, the man said, well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. And then the Lord saw, God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Well, the woman said, well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And here comes in the third loss. From blessings to curse. So the Lord God said to the serpent, and he is the first one that curses the serpent. He does not curse Eve first. He curses the serpent first. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Probably before that, the snake was doing okay. She had probably other ways to walk around or to be around. We don't know. But after this, now you're going to eat dust for the rest of your life. And you're going to be crawling on your belly. God speaks to the woman before he speaks to the man. And to the woman, then he says, I will make your pains of childbearing very severe. Now, I'm not a woman, but those who are mothers, they know it's not necessarily an easy thing. I heard it from my own wife. So we know it's hard, it's pain. When the birth pains start to come, it's a process. When the baby is about to deliver, yes, there is pain. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. See, this is curse. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Wasn't meant to be. But now, because of this, this is going to be. Now to Adam, he said, well, because you listened to your man, husbands. God is telling something to Adam. You should not have listened to your wife. Now let me tell you this. Today, there is a difference because we are still in Christ, one unit. We are one in Christ. If you beat up your wife, husband, you basically are beating up yourself. Because you and your wife are one. Anyway, he says to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and you ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. You know, this is hard work. This is sweat. At one point, for those who are farmers, you didn't have to work that hard. And I tell you what, it is going to come those days again. Farming business will be easier than it is right now. But you don't have to put all the poisons, whatever you have to put to clear out the grass, all the Roundup stuff or whatever it is, because it's growing, and if you don't take care of it, soon you have more dirt in your land than you have the crop. And now my dad is a farmer too. So he hires an airplane and goes back and forth, you know, until it's all done. It does in a couple hours, it's all done. But you have to do something if you want to have a crop. For those who have a garden, it's the same thing. You have to pull off the weeds. They're just there. And if you let it go for a week, there the weeds are back. It's just the way it is. Nothing is easy. At one point in life, it was not like that. It was better. You put in the seed, and it was great. You didn't have to worry about it. Probably the cycle for you to get the crop probably was easier too, faster. In fact, the Bible does indicate that later. And we want, you know, at the time of the millennium, there will be some, you will see some other types of crop growing on this field, on this earth. So it will produce thorns, the Bible says, and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Really not that fun. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Now, curse number four. Big, big loss. That is the loss of life. See, when God says you will surely die, it comes now. You will die because you ate. Until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Give it time enough, you know that you are no more than dust. And if you doubt it, go into a cemetery, open up a grave, maybe 50 years old. There's probably nothing left in there other than a little bit of dust. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam. See, here's where death really kicks in. At this point, animals also started to die. He authorized the killing of the animals because from now on, basically, you would also start doing sacrifices. And of course, it was pointing already to something that would happen in the future. So the Lord God made garments of skin, Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. This is what the Lord said. The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. You see, in this part, the devil was right. Now they know. The Lord would have protected them to stay just with the good. But since he had created them on a free will, and they decided to disobey God, they said, okay, here it is. Now you know. And this is the consequence, which is the part that the devil did not tell them. In fact, he lied to them and said, you will not surely die. You will be just fine, just give her. And they did not. They ate, and we know what happened. It was the beginning of their death. From dust you came, to dust you're going to return. Then the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing God, good and evil. And he must not be, and this is right what he said right here, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is very important. That's the reason why actually the Lord put an angel on holding the entrance to the garden where the tree of life was. If they would be spiritually dead by now, and they would eventually grab some of the fruit from the tree of life, they would live in that state, spiritually dead forever. And God could not bear this hardship. That's the reason that I put that angel there. Don't eat from it, because in the state that you are in right now, if you eat from this life, you will live in this state forever. Completely separated from me. That's why that was the first thing. I want no one to touch this tree of life. And this is pure mercy from God. If Adam and Eve would have managed to reach the tree of life, they would have been able to live forever physically, but spiritually dead. And God said, no. Verse 23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden, a cherubim, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And here's the beginning of the true hope. It says in Genesis 3, verses 15, "And I will put an enmity between you and the woman," telling to the snake, "and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the gospel according to Genesis. What does this really mean? Very simple. The devil officially or apparently has gained a little bit of a victory over the heart of man. But this is not the end. Jesus in the future would come, and the devil decided, "I'm going to destroy the Savior. I'm going to kill the Savior. I'm going to annihilate the Savior." And he tried. He killed Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, remember what God said, that only the sinners needed to die? Only those who had sinned, death had any power over? That's not the case of the Savior I'm going to send." So as he came, the devil killed him like a little bite on the heel. Just 3 days, nothing major, but he will crush your head. Just wait. And we know how it all ends. He will crush your head by rising back up. He will crush your head by coming again. He will crush your head by throwing the serpent into the pit of hell forever. Remember, the Bible says that the last enemy to be defeated is death. Right now, it's not over for us, but it's coming. Now we read in Romans chapter 16, verses 20. "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." This is coming. Romans 5, 1 to 5, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." After we were taken out of the garden, there was really no peace. It was hard. It was difficult. Man, Adam and Eve were crying as they were leaving. I'm pretty sure. Man, we left such a beautiful place. But they had to say goodbye. And they saw the angel. He cannot come back. Because the angel was kind of protecting the return to the tree of life until in all directions. But the text says here, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. Remember this. Today you and I are in peace with God if you believe in Jesus Christ. Peace. The fight, the curse has been removed. "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory on our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." One more verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." As the group comes up here for not a song that we want to sing, let's take some moments and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we did doubt. Just a kind or tiny little twist made human race fall. And Lord Jesus, we understand that we lost all the privileges, the fellowship, the communion, the good life. In fact, we lost our lives. But now, Lord Jesus, as you came, and as you broke the head of Satan by coming back up, we can enjoy now the protection of the children of God. And yes, we are on our way back to paradise. It looks like it takes a long time. It's taking a long time. But it's just like a vapor. It is coming. We are on our way back. And Lord Jesus, there are people here in this congregation that maybe are still under the influence of the enemy. And maybe even have been feeding on the seed of doubt. And have somehow wandered into a place of darkness, a place of no hope, a place of difficulty, loneliness, horror. Maybe the devil is still lying, and we know he is, but is still lying even to us. And sometimes, Lord, we just don't truly believe that in you there is freedom. We are back on our highway to paradise. We ask you, Lord, that you would remove all the seed of doubt of your word from our hearts. Lord, this is urgent. This is extremely necessary. We have to leave the doubt and believe. Help us, Lord, to believe. And you say that you are the only way, the truth, and the life. Let's believe. When you say that there are no more condemnation upon a human being, let's believe. We know that condemnation has been taken. And we are indeed a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. We worship you this morning. And we rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get out of Markham Missionary Church. Get out of the hearts of the people in this place. Get out in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to be part present in our lives. Help us to live in the freedom conquered by the cross, by Jesus Christ on the cross, and live in freedom. And the strength of your mighty power. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. And we give you all glory and honor and power in Jesus' name. And the people say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.